Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is made possible by our supporters over on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows and extra episodes every month, then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. Programs, and we're back for another episode of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
And my name is Derek Diamond.
So how was your weekend, good sir?
What did I do this weekend? So we had more auditions for Samantha's movie. So we've got the majority of the cast filled. We've still got a couple of roles we're still looking to fill, but
that's good.
You know, we're not filming till July, so we've still got plenty of time for that.
Yeah.
I did download an interesting app that's making the buzz around the gaming world, app, and it is quite nice.
Really? So it's how is it playing with, a Nintendo controller on the screen itself?
I'm still getting used to it, if I'm being honest. It's nice to be able to play Nintendo games on your phone. However, it can be a bit of a challenge with like not having a D-pad or any buttons, because I've been playing Illusion of Gaia a lot through this app, and it can be a little frustrating because you want to move left but you can't because you hit the wrong spot, so you end up going down or going up and you end up getting hit and potentially dying.
But you can set it up you're using a Bluetooth controller though, aren't you?
I haven't done that. I haven't even thought about that, to be honest. I probably should do that instead because it'd be a lot better, but either way, it's still really cool. Like the app runs great. I've had no issues with it. What's great is that you can save and load games whenever you want. Like with Illusion of Gaia, there's very limited places where you can actually save your game.
Yeah.
So like there's a pretty difficult boss fight about halfway through. And what I would do is I would just make a save spot in the room before that boss fight. And then as soon as I die, I'd just reload that spot and just keep doing that until I eventually got past it.
That's cool.
But it's really cool.
I got some new equipment over the weekend. Got a new, if you're watching on the YouTube, I got a new microphone for the podcast. So if everything sounds a little strange, or if you hear some weird stuff going on, I'm still working the kinks out. So this is the test episode for the new equipment.
Yeah, no, it sounds really good. And I'm sure, it's when you upgrade gear, like a microphone or, even a mixer, it feels more professional.
Yeah.
It feels right.
I have buttons over here to turn now. So it's like, it's nice. I just want to move stuff and just like, you know, I even have
just
some.
Turn your gain up or down. Drop your pot.
Yeah, and I have echo.
Echo. Echo.
Whoa.
Oh, that was great.
That was awesome.
Rampage is already trolling. I love it. He says, I would play Illusion of Gaia, but I only like challenging games. Then I won't go into detail about my challenges with the game this weekend.
I've started Fallout New Vegas. I downloaded that on the Game Pass and started playing that. I'm about 3-4 hours in at this point, and I'm still kind of in the tutorial section, that first little part of town. So I'm having fun with that. I'm gonna stick that out for a while and see how it goes. And I forgot who it was. Was it Raven this morning said on the Discord, is that gonna be your next review since the 360 is almost 20 years old at this point? I'm like, no, I don't like that. That doesn't sit right with me.
November of next year, the Xbox 360 turns 20.
Oh, man.
I know.
Man, what time? Know. What even is it?
I've been having this conversation with people for the last couple of months. This year has just been going by at like a lightning fast pace.
Yeah. It's already almost May. I'm going to be 47 years old next month. 47!
My anniversary, my 2-year anniversary was last week.
I thought it was
1 year.
It's
already been 2 years.
2 years? It's been 2 years since you got married.
Yes.
What happened to your 1-year anniversary? What?
It already happened.
No. We're living in some kind of time warp. Something happened. I think they turned on that Large Hadron Collider and just ruined everything.
You know, it's funny you say that because it reminds me of a funny Facebook post I saw a little while ago. This graphic's been making the rounds on social media of like a Super Smash Brothers movie, but done in the style of 1980s animation. And the page that posted it was called Alternate Reality Cinema. It's like, yeah, in the 80s, we had this really great animated movie called Super Smash Brothers, where your favorite Nintendo characters fought each other. Uh-huh. Unfortunately, it wasn't released in your reality. And I'm like, man, that's cold.
Oh, speaking of movies, did you, you sent me the link this morning, I think, for the new Deadpool trailer.
Man, I need that movie to come out like yesterday.
Just inject it straight into my veins. I need it.
Yep.
Oh,
you're
going to
hear me scream throughout the entire movie when it comes out.
Joey says he's 47 on June 2nd. Oh, I know. We're only a couple of days apart, so we're getting there, man. We're almost 50. 50. That just sounds bad. 50.
And then right after that, I'll turn 40.
Oh, dude.
It's crazy.
Yeah, your 40s go by kind of quick, so don't get there too fast.
Yeah, my 30s have been going by really fast, too. It seems like it's been much faster than my 20s.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mushmouth's right. Deadpool and Wolverine looks great.
Oh, yeah, it looks awesome. I can't wait to see that movie. It's going to be so good.
There's some very interesting story twists that it seems like they're taking, which yeah. I'm okay with.
I don't even want to speculate on anything. I just want to go in what I know now that I kind of see what the movie's about. I'm like, all right, let's take this roller coaster ride and see what happens.
And then as soon as the movie's over, just watch it again.
Yeah, I probably will. But before we do our top five shmups for this episode, we didn't get a ton like we did the last top five we did. So I think we got a little time to do some news. What do you say?
Sure.
Some of tonight's stories were sent to us by Armez Jackson. So if you have a news story you'd like us to cover, send them to nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. And the first story comes from evercade.co.uk. New hardware, new lower price. Introducing Evercade EXP-R and Evercade VSR. Says, we're delighted to announce a refresh of the Evercade line. My microphone went out. See, yeah, we're working out the kinks here, people. We're delighted to announce a refresh of the Evercade line of retro gaming consoles that not only provides a simpler and more accessible way to get into Evercade and its physical cartridge ecosystem, but also brings the price of the products down to under $100. Let's see. The Evercade R range will see both the Evercade console staples, the VS and the EXP, get a new look and simplified package and one bundled cartridge to be announced later this month. There's a lot here. Let's just say the Evercade EXPR also includes Wi-Fi for easy updates and the Tate button at the bottom to allow you to rotate your console and play vertical games easily and with accurate screen ratio. Will come with a USB-C charging cable and also one Evercade cartridge collection bundle to be announced shortly. Prices are now much lower at $99.99. And the VSR, let's see, features dual cartridge slots and four USB ports for local multiplayer action. The HDMI output makes the best way to play retro games on your television or monitor at 1080p resolution. Included the package is one controller, one micro USB power cable, and one Evercade cartridge, which will be announced later this month, and it is now at a simplified price of $99.99. So what do you think?
I mean, there's a lot to unpack with that. I mean, there's a lot of information in that article. It's been a bit since we've talked about the Evercade, so this was nice to see, and I like that, you know, you have the option of playing it in the style of the Switch or in a more, you know, traditional set with the console and controller. So the prices I don't think are terrible. I don't know that I'll get one, but I still think this is really cool.
Yeah. I like these the Tate grips they have.
Yeah,
that will secure your Evercade in a comfortable controller-like cradle, enabling you to play Tate games for longer and more accurate response and user comfort.
Yeah, and they're like, only $20.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. So I mean, for around $130, you know, after tax, have a nice little retro gaming system.
Yeah, for sure. From NintendoLife.com, Cowabunga, a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles roguelike, is coming to Switch this July. Had enough of the Heroes in a Half Shell? Never. Developer and publisher Super Evil Megacorp took to the Nintendo Indie World Showcase to reveal that TMNT Splintered Fate is coming to Switch this July. Away from the swath of beat-em-ups that the series has long been tied to, Splintered Fate is a roguelike action game where you take control of the four brothers through a series of universe-hopping runs. There are temporary upgrades to be unlocked along the way, with permanent unlocks for those who put in the work after each elimination. What is nice to see is that the Turtles will each have their own skill set to make playthroughs that bit more interesting and to add a bit of spice to the game's four-player co-op mode. We don't have a precise release date for this one just yet outside of July 2024, but we'll be keeping an eye out. I like that they're getting away from the traditional format. We got that with Shredder's Revenge, so we don't need a new Ninja Turtles beat 'em up for a while.
Yeah.
This keeps their name in the limelight, and it's something a little different.
Yeah,
I'm going to pick this up whenever it comes out.
I kind of dig this. This kind of fits the whole roguelike genre pretty well. I didn't even think about it, you know, when you're playing games like Hades and stuff like that. Like, why not have a Ninja Turtles game like that?
Yeah. No, I think it makes perfect sense. And I think those that are fans of the Ninja Turtles that might be a little burnout on the, like, essentially the same type of game that features the Turtles, and it could introduce them to a completely new genre. I'm totally for this.
Mushmouse asked me if I saw his list in the chat. Of course I did. We'll go back and read it. Don't you worry, good sir. We'll read it.
Yeah, we'll read it.
Yeah. this kidding. Next story comes from NintendoLife.com. This is just a list that they put out, came out on Saturday night, and it's, you know, this is kind of a subjective thing, but it's the 50 best Game Boy games of all time, and I figured you might have a little more say in this because you're more of a Game Boy person than I am, but it's in honor of the 35th anniversary, which happened yesterday. And this is the basically what their list of the 50 greatest games. And just to name a couple of them on here, I'll just go through. I don't know why it keeps going out like that. That's weird. I'll have to look at that after the show. R-Type 2 at 50, Avenging Spirit, which I've never even heard of. Quarth, which I've never heard of. Of course, Super RC Pro-Am is on here. Motocross Maniacs, Super Mario Land at 44. I figured that would have been way higher. Let's look and see what is in the top spots here.
Yeah, I'm looking at the top five.
All right, let's see here. All right, at number one, you've got Legend of Zelda, Link's Awakening. That's a good number one spot, of course, which I would have thought Tetris at number two would have been at the number one spot.
Yeah, and I made a post about this on Twitter yesterday. The only reason I didn't put Tetris in my top three list is because you can play Tetris practically anyway.
Yeah.
On the Game Boy, on your phone. There's been multiple releases of it.
And you got Donkey Kong at number three. Wario Land, Super Mario Land 3 at number four. And at the number five spot, Pokemon Yellow Special Pikachu Edition.
One of my favorite games for the Game Boy. There's still quite a few Game Boy games that I don't know about, because it's got, it's got Red and Blue at 6, Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins at 7, Wario Land 2 at 8. Honestly, I'd probably rank it about like that, minus a couple of things. Like, I'd put Wario Land, Mario Land 3 a little higher. I like that it's above Mario Land 2, because it is a better game, in my opinion. It adds a neat little twist on the Mario platforming formula. Donkey Kong 94 is one of the most underrated, not just Game Boy games, but video games of all time. Hmm. I love Donkey Kong 94.
See, I was going to say, I'm kind of surprised that ended up at the number three spot.
Yeah, I thought it would be like around the 9 or 10 spot. But I have no objection to the majority of this list.
Yeah.
Mushmouse asking where Gold and Silver is. That's what I'm currently looking for. It can't be. Can't be. Well, it's not in the top 20.
Wow. Let's see.
Donkey Kong Land, Tetris Attack. Well, Kirby's Dream Land at 27.
Game Boy Camera?
Game Boy Camera is not a game. That's an accessory.
Bionic Commando at 23. I don't even see
it. I forgot about
here.
Tetris 2.
Yeah, I don't see any more Pokemons on here.
I don't either. That's... Huh. Wow, that's... That's shocking.
Well, if you have any qualms about this, go to NintendoLife.com and jump in the comments section.
Gold and Silver were robbed.
Yeah.
Much less let's throw that whole list away.
Over Game Boy Camera?
Game Boy Camera is not, it's not a game. It's an accessory.
That's so strange.
Does it count? That's so stupid. Okay, that takes away from the list a little bit.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of the news. We're going to go ahead and jump into our top five shoot 'em ups, and sorry everybody, I know this is a weird episode with my new equipment and everything. I'll try to get these bugs worked out before next week, but Derek, do you want to start off our lists here on the top five shoot 'em ups?
Yeah, so this was actually an interesting list for me, because shoot 'em ups aren't a genre that it's not a genre I'm very familiar with. I've played a handful of games, but a lot of them I was introduced to through starting this podcast. Like, you know, I dabbled into it a little bit, but it was never a genre that I was really good at. So this wasn't the easiest list for me to do. So I don't have any honorable mentions, but my number five is Galaga. You know, it's one of the most iconic arcade games of all time. If you want to play a shoot 'em up or a shmup, as it's popularly called on the internet, you can't really go wrong with Galaga. It's something you can just hop right into. Everybody knows what it is. It's really easy to play, so you can't go wrong with Galaga.
Yeah, I have that in my runners up Because that's just one of those games, especially I love those arcade cabinets they have now that are it's half Galaga, half Miss Pac-Man that you see everywhere. Every time I see one, I have to throw a couple of quarters in there, play some Galaga.
Oh, absolutely. My number four is a game that I recently started getting into and I'm actually really liking, Sunset Riders. It's actually available on the Switch as part of the Arcade Archive series. It's very Turtles in Time-esque, which those of you who've been listening to this show forever know it's one of my favorite games of all time. Even the music has like little similar beats and type of instruments that they used for the music, and I'm like, this reminds me of another game that I really like. So, but I'm enjoying Sunset Riders, and it's a game that I'll be reviewing sooner rather than later. Number three is a game based off of one of our favorite movies of all time, T2 the Arcade Game. What I like about this game is not so much the gameplay, but it's getting into that Terminator universe. And I like that the majority of it takes place in the future after, you know, Earth has gone to you-know-what because of Skynet. I imagine the arcade version would be better than the Super Nintendo version. I've only played the SNES version, but I enjoy the Terminator. I like the Terminator universe, and it plays well enough that I still really enjoy it. My number two is a game that I went in with no real expectations, but actually wound up really enjoying, Gunstar Heroes for the Sega Genesis. And you'll notice a lot of these are more of like your run and gun type games, but it's really a subgenre of shoot 'em ups. I really like the futuristic setting. I like the variety of weapons that you can get. And it was nice to play a Genesis game that wasn't Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
which might surprise people. But I really liked Gunstar Heroes a lot. But my number one, I knew without a shadow of a doubt this is going to be my number one. I love it's a very hard game. But I love the animation. I love the universe. Earthworm Jim is my number one. It personifies the 90s like few other games that I've played. And it took me back to my childhood from, you know, seeing the advertisements and magazines. It's really challenging. And it's a game I've never beaten. But it's one of those games that, like, the difficulty doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Like, I just enjoy playing it because it's so wacky and out there.
Earthworm Jim just sums up the 90s. Just,
100%.
You know, just what it is.
Speaking of the 90s, did you see that SNL skit with Ryan Gosling where he dressed up as Beavis?
Yeah.
It was great.
That was a really good sketch. One of the best I've seen in a while.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my top five shoot 'em ups.
I already said Galaga was in my runners up. My other runners up was Afterburner for the arcade, the actual sit down machine, the one that you sit inside, the one that's very prominently shown in Terminator 2 when he's in the arcade. That machine is so freaking awesome. I wish I had one of my own.
Yeah, it's one of the most iconic, like, arcade cabinets of all time.
As soon as
I saw that on your list, I'm like, that sounds familiar. And then I was like, oh, I bet that's the one from Terminator. And sure enough, it is.
It's so cool. But for my actual list, at the number five spot, we have Contra for the NES. Got to throw Contra on there. Good run and gun, shoot 'em up. Probably the best there is, the best there ever was, and the best there ever will be. So come at me, you side-scrolling shooter people.
So it's the Bret Hart of shoot 'em ups?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I dig that.
And at number four, I have something that is going to shock a lot of people, because it's probably only time an Atari 2600 game is going to appear on any list that I ever do. All right, we're going to have to fix this for next week, because this is getting crazy. We got River Raid for the Atari 2600. I used to love I used to have the little flight control stick for the Atari 2600, and it had like little four little suction cups. And so I used to put the TV, the what do you call that thing? The TV table or the...
Like an entertainment center?
No, well, like the it used to be at the front of the couch, and you'd put your feet on it. You'd eat dinner on
it. Oh, coffee table.
Coffee table. Why can't I think of coffee table? I'm so discombobulated with everything going wrong right now. The coffee table, I'd get at the coffee table, and I'd stick that little thing on there with the four little suction cups, and I'd play River Raid for hours. And I just love that game.
I've never heard of River Raid until now.
Really?
Really?
It's an early Activision game, and probably one of the best Atari 2600 games that there is.
So if you were to make a list of top five Atari 2600 games, would this be your one through five?
It would be in the top five, definitely.
But would it just be like your one through five?
I'd put Pitfall in there. I'd put Missile Command in there. But it would definitely be in that top five, though.
Joey says Game Boy cameras on his list.
Oh, yeah. At number three, we have Rebel Assault for MS-DOS back in the early 90s. Holy crap, I loved the Rebel Assault so much. I had the flight stick for my, what did I have? I had like a Hewlett-Packard back in the day. And I had Rebel Assault and TIE Fighter. And what else did I have? What was the game that they just did a remaster of it a little while ago? Not Dark Empire, but why can't I think of the name of it right now?
I know which one you're talking about, but the name's escaping me.
Yeah, I can't think of it right now. It's Monday night. It's hot in here, and my microphone keeps going out, so I'm just kind of trying to get through here.
But I love those like peripherals you would get with those PC games back in the day. Because, you know, I've told stories about how I used to watch my uncle play those games. Mm-hmm. And he had, like, the flight stick. He had a steering wheel for racing games.
Oh, yeah.
Those were, like, just as cool as the games themselves to me.
Dark Forces is what I was trying to think of.
It just
popped in my head. But, yeah, Rebel Assault is great. I would love to go back and play that. It probably plays like crap now. Going back after having, you know, games like, you know, the GameCube games like Rebel, what were those? The Rebels, not
oh,
Rebel
the
Assault.
Rogue Squadron
yeah,
games.
Yeah, Rogue Squadron games.
Yeah.
They're so much better, but man, I had so much fun with Rebel Assault. That game was great.
We should do a, like a Star Wars month where we each do like some of those old games.
I'm for it. Let's do it.
That'd be fun.
At my number two spot, of course, 1942. For the NES, which I still love to play to this day, because I hook up the play it with the NES Advantage, nothing better. It's so cool.
No, I don't disagree with anything. Like, that's when I was looking up different lists, this was at or near the top of all of them.
And of course, my number one spot, Gun.Smoke, or just Gunsmoke, if you will, for the NES. Did a review of this a couple of years ago, and probably one of the best top-down shooters for the NES. Like, it doesn't get any better than Gun.Smoke. So if you've never played that game, please do yourself a favor and go play it, because it's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I still need to play it.
But you need to, because it's great. What do you go play it right now? Let's just end the episode and just go play Gunsmoke, because it's awesome.
Just play Gunsmoke while you fix your microphone.
Yeah, no kidding. But before we go into your list for tonight, Derek, would you like to do our Patreon shout out?
As always, we like to shout out our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We want to shout out Brian Piotrowski, Nick W, Eld the Zombie, Yup Fed, a.k.a. Knife, James, a.k.a. at Jimbo Jr. on our Discord, Raven, Danny House, Justin Nispel, John West, Daniel Salmon, Mr. B-Rez Coffee himself, Mike Eveland, Tyler Watson, Axeblade07, RMS Jackson, Carlos Longoria, a.k.a. I am the Rampage, Steph Sergeant Sketch, Gus and Penny, Matthew Salmon, Mr. Joey Image, and of course,
Mama Diamond.
Donna Diamond, thank you all so much for your continued contributions and keeping the lights on for us here at the Nerd Cave Retro Podcast. For as little as $1 a month, that's 4 quarters, that's 10 dimes. I'm running out of dollar analogies, so forgive me, this is not my best one.
100 but pennies.
I always wanted to, like, if I knew, like, a store clerk that was just a jerk and something cost a dollar, I would pay in 100 pennies. But, yeah, for as little as a dollar a month, you get your own RSS feed that includes an ad-free edition of the podcast. So if you just want to hear us talk nonstop for an hour, you can do that for as little as a dollar a month. And you get early access to our monthly bonus episodes, which for the most part includes commentary tracks for movies such as Transformers the Movie, Batman 89, Christmas Vacation, Clue, animated series like Darkwing Duck, DuckTales, Real Ghostbusters. The list is near endless on what we've done. So I know April is quickly wrapping up. So I know we still got to nail down an exact time for when we're going to do our commentary track, but we'll get it out there for everybody.
Yeah,
so
we plan on doing it this weekend so we can get it out before the month ends.
Yep. So if you want to be a part of our awesome Patreon community, just head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And for new patrons, be sure to send us your social media info, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, so we can give you a proper shout out.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And up first, we got most of our stuff here on Discord for this month. We didn't really get any emails or Facebook. I don't know if people are too into the shmups. We just didn't get a lot of people writing in for this one this month.
That's all right.
But that's okay. But we got all you people here on this Discord. We'll start with Mr. Joey Image. Top 5 shmups in no order. Commando. Gradius series. Ikaruga? Is that how I'm saying that right?
Ikaruga?
Ikaruga? Never heard of that. Contra and Gunsmoke. Said his honorable mentions are Gigawing, Galaga, Metal Slug. Ooh, I forgot about Metal Slug. I love Metal Slug. Legendary Wings. I feel like the only person who likes this game. And 1942. Don't feel that way, Joey, because I actually dig Legendary Wings, too. The only reason I think people don't like that game is it's ridiculously hard.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, too. And, you know, I was reading online because, again, this is a genre that I'm not very familiar with. And everything I read about Legendary Wings said that it's a good game. It's just insanely hard.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Axeblade 07. His honorable mentions are the Cotton series, Gradius series, Raiden series, Soldier Blade, and Forgotten Worlds. And his top 5 list, in no particular order, the Darius series, Thunder Force 5, Lords of Thunder, R-Type Final, and Radiant Silver Gun.
Never heard of Radiant Silver Gun.
Yeah, I haven't either, but that's it sounds like the name of an awesome 80s movie.
Yeah, it does. and from Nick 59524, His honorable mentions are, or actually, let's start with his dishonorable mentions. Dishonorable mentions.
Ooh, dishonorable mentions. I like it.
I like it. Revolution X. My God, that game was terrible. There was a copy for it at my grandparents' house for the Genesis, and it was god-awful. That game was bad in the arcade. I can't imagine how bad it was for the Genesis.
Probably unplayable.
Ugh. His honorable mentions are Contra, House of the Dead, House of the Dead 2, I'm sorry, Legendary Wings, and Soldier Blade. His top five list is, starting out number 5, Blazing Lasers, 4, Gunstar Heroes, 3, Metal Slug X, 2, Lords of Thunder, and number 1, Contra Hardcore. How do you like Contra Hardcore? That game's too hard to like.
What system was that for?
Contra Hardcore, I think, was for the Genesis. I'm pretty sure it was Genesis.
Okay. Because Contra 3 was for the Super Nintendo, right?
Yeah.
The Alien Wars?
The Alien Wars, yeah.
Yeah. That game was really hard for me. Because it was on the SNES Mini, and I tried playing it and got nowhere really fast.
Game's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. From Mr. Brandon Rutledge. This was even harder than usual. I love the light gun subgenre for shmups so much that I had to give them their own list. So you get a 2-for-1 special. So he's finagling the rules a little bit, but I respect it.
Of course he did.
I respect it. If you can figure out a way to do it, I respect it. Okay, so we're going to start with his non-light gun games. His honorable mentions, Contra, he says, enters Konami code, let's go, I'm dead. I made a game with zombies in it, fun little indie game on the 360. Ikaruga, arguably the hardest vertical shooter of all time. Life Force, aka Salamander, on the TurboGrafx-16. The NES version was my introduction to horizontal shooters. Metal Slug 1-7, wacky and fun franchise. And Raiden, you can play as a ninja pilot. Good enough for me. That's pretty cool. A ninja pilot. You never think of that.
Yeah.
His odd. Number 5, Smash TV. A great classic, just avoid the NES version. 4, Gunstar Heroes. Just straight up cool. The power-ups are very diverse. 3, Wild Guns. Western shootout with robots. I thought about putting Wild Guns on my list, but that game did not like me at all. It's fun, but I can never get the hang of it.
Yeah.
Number 2, Galaga, a timeless classic that never gets old. And number 1, Metal Slug X. So much fun and chaos, fighting enemy soldiers and aliens, a fantastic updated version of Metal Slug 2. Now we move on to his light gun games. His honorable mentions, Duck Hunt. Damn that dog. If we had a dollar for every time someone has said that, we wouldn't have to work another day in our lives. House of the Dead, great intro to an interesting franchise. House of the Dead 3, using shotguns, giant zombie security guard, all in the far off future year of 2019.
House of the Dead, great game, horrible movie.
Yes. Lucky and Wild, very unique arcade game where you drive and shoot. Time Crisis 2, I spent way too much money in the arcades beating this game with my brother. And Wild Gunman, classic Western quick draw shooter. Back to the Future fans will know this game. Yep, yeah. Absolutely. Number 5,
That's like a baby's toy.
Number 5, Operation Wolf, unique military shooter where you can game over from either dying or simply running out of ammo. Number 4, Fast Draw Showdown, take Wild Gunman and use real-life actors with hokey dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
Silly but fun. Number 3, T2 Judgment Day, only the arcade version, spent many quarters and tokens over the years. Number 2, House of the Dead 2, arguably the best of the franchise from the story to the bosses. And number 1, Time Crisis 3, incredible improvement from the second game. You can easily switch weapons, plus the characters have cooler outfits. So much is right with this game.
And up next,
good list, Brandon.
Yeah, that was a great list. And up next, we have Raven Ghostpaw. His honorable mentions include Starship Hector, Life Force. First time we've seen Life Force on here, which is, who said Salamander a little while ago? That was the Japanese version was Salamander. It was called Life Force in America.
Yep.
Contra / Super Contra, Stinger, NES. I've never heard of Stinger. And Image Fight. Joey, you had a game called Image Fight. At number five, Air Fortress. I used to play this with my uncle, and we never could beat the last fortress because we always got lost in the maze of the place. Four, this actually almost ended up on my list. Captain Skyhawk. I found it too difficult to control. Three, R-Type, any system it's on. Two, Gladius 3 for the SNES. And number one, Zexal, one of my all-time favorite NES games. Great music and so much fun to play.
Good list. And let's see, next up we have Mr. Tyler Watson. Limiting myself to vertical and side-scrolling shooters. Honorable mentions, Abadox, The Deadly Inner War for NES. A fun little shooter where all the stages are inside a giant alien body. I'd play it just for that alone. Oh, Prehistoric Isle 2 for the Neo Geo. Do you like dinosaurs? Do you like helicopters? Do you like shooting dinosaurs with helicopters? Then this is the game for you.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. Strikers 1945 Plus, also for the Neo Geo. A shooter with a World War II era fighter plane. An update to Strikers 1945 2. Developer Psycho always puts out some great shooters. I'm sure I probably got that name wrong, but Area 88 / UN Squadron for the arcade and SNES, a licensed shooter from Capcom based on a manga and anime series of the same name. Number 5, Ikaruga for Dreamcast / GameCube, a notoriously difficult shooter where you switch between light and dark shots. The enemies also have light and dark shots, and you can absorb the same color you're currently equipped with, but you'll do more damage to enemies of the opposite shot you're using, i.e. light shots do extra damage to dark enemies and vice versa.
Now we know what Ikaruga is.
Yeah. Number 4, 1942 for the arcade. I first played this one as a kid, and I've loved it ever since. I've always made sure to drop a quarter in one whenever I saw one. Number 3, Aerofighters 2 / Sonic Wings 2 for the Neo Geo. Another WW2 era shooter, but this one has wacky characters as the pilots. One's a robot and one's a dolphin. And he even has a little pilot's cap and goggles. Again, like I'd play it just to play it as a dolphin wearing a pilot hat. Number 2, Gradius for the arcade. One of the best to ever do it and the granddaddy of all space shooters. You can't go wrong with this one no matter what platform you play it on. And number 1, Lords of Thunder for the Sega CD. Mark this down because I don't know how many times we'll have a Sega CD game appear on a top 5 list. A shooter where you pick from one or three elemental armors and blast through several stages to a hard rockin' soundtrack. Absolutely worth a whole playthrough.
Nice. Up next we have I Am the Rampage. And he says his honorable mentions are Space Invaders. This was my very first experience with video games. My dad bought us an Atari 2600, and this was how I experienced video games for the first time. Lightning Force, Galaga, and Contra. And his actual list is at number 5. Well, he's got these listed weird. 5, Raiden Trad. I don't know what that is.
Never heard of that one.
4, Sunset Riders. 3, T2, the arcade game. 2, Metal Slug, all of them. And number 1, Einhander. I don't know what Einhander is.
I don't know, but I love the name.
I like it.
That's great. So I think we got a couple in the YouTube chat.
Yeah, at the very top, you want to start with the Mushmouth at the very top?
Yeah. From Mushmouth, we have Gradius Advance. I can't believe I didn't think of this one. Star Fox 64.
Oh, yeah.
R-Type 3, Captain Skyhawk, and Ikaruga in no particular order. Except that, obviously, Ikaruga reigns supreme.
Mm-hmm.
I think somebody else sent in a list, too.
There was
M. Ortiz.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I see it. Zombie Panic in Wonderland, Life Force, Operation Wolf through the Arcade, Virtua Cop 2, House of the Dead 2 and 3 for the Wii. They put those on the Wii? I forgot about that.
Yeah, I did too.
That's cool.
That's interesting. You know, I actually like that we did this list primarily because a lot of these games I've never heard of.
Yeah, me neither.
And it gives us new stuff to play.
And plus it makes you realize some of the stuff that should have been on your list that you forgot about. Of course, like I knew you would have easily put in Star Fox on yours. I wanted to put on mine Zombies Ate My Neighbors, but I wasn't sure if that qualified as a shoot 'em up.
I thought about that too. There were a lot that I thought of that I was kind of unsure about, but I didn't even think of any of the Star Fox games.
Yeah, it's kind of just such a wide berth of different type of shooter games that it's really hard to kind of narrow it down. That's why on my list, I kind of wanted to keep it a little bit, you know, well-rounded. I say if you never played River Raid, go try it out. It's actually one of the best Atari 2600 games you can get. That's probably the one. Whenever I think of shoot 'em ups, that's the one that pops in my head the most.
And I was actually looking. Neither of us have reviewed Sunset Riders.
I thought you did.
I looked in the I'll look again, but I looked at the archives a little while ago. I reviewed Wild Guns. But
maybe
not Sunset Riders.
I could have sworn you did Sunset Riders. I would have bet my life.
Yeah,
on it.
I just typed in Sunset and nothing came up.
Well,
so I'll do that in a future episode.
Yeah, we'll do that. But coming up next week, what are you going to be reviewing next week?
By popular demand, and by that demand, I mean from my co-host's recommendation, I'm going to be reviewing Indiana Jones and His Desktop Adventures. So we're going to dive back into the educational field of video games, because that seems to be my genre, or one of them anyway.
Yeah. I figure we should probably do Oregon Trail here soon, too.
Yeah. I could tell you some stories about Oregon Trail. Back in the day, like we'd crowd around a computer just to watch like one person play Oregon Trail. Yeah. And then when they would make it to the end, because hardly anybody ever made it all the way to the very end when you have to do like the river rapid, rapid course. So that was like a huge deal when that would happen.
Is it even possible to win that game, or do you die of starvation or dysentery before you get to do anything?
No, you can win it. Because I've done it before.
I trust you, because I never could finish that damn game.
that was a long time ago.
Yeah. We used to play that back when I was in fourth grade, and we had computer class, and we had the Apple IIs in the classroom. And we would just sit and play things like Hangman, or Snoopy's Hangman, and we'd play Oregon Trail. And I'm trying to think of some other stuff we would play at the time. But I used to really like that. That's why I wish I could find an old Apple II and just have.
So that'd be so cool to have. Just to have like a wall of old consoles and computers. That'd be great.
Especially if it still worked too and have the big floppy disks. The actual floppy disks that went in it. That'd be fun to have.
I still remember getting the gray floppy disks with like it was like a little notepad that was stuck to it, and you'd write down like what was saved on it, and it would be like one game or one photo or one document.
My grandfather used to, he would program games for me and try to help me program small games, because we had this book for Commodore 64. And he would program games for me, like different maze games and things like that. And they would be on actual cassette tapes. And I thought that was just
That's
the coolest
cool.
thing. I wish I still had some of those tapes and find an old Commodore 64 that could still play that type of stuff.
That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it took forever to load up. I mean, if you wanted to play, like, there was this maze game he made for me. And I remember you would literally have to just load the tape, you know, go in and type load or whatever, run type whatever to get the game started, and then just go outside and play for a while, or, you know, go get some lunch, because it would take, you know, 30 minutes for it to load up.
Kind of like today when you get a new game and you have to do an update.
Exactly. That's exactly it. It's like doing a 50
That was the precursor
update.
To updates.
Yeah. That's why I don't mind updates these days, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mushmouse says that's cool. Yeah.
But
no, I didn't know that. That's. I didn't even know you could do stuff like that with the Commodore 64.
The Commodore 64 used to have, it was like a little tape deck that you would hook up to it, and you would, you know, write out your games and whatever BASIC, I think it was at the time. You would type out your game and you would save it to the tape, and then whatever game it was you were creating, that way you could play it over and over again. You could copy it to other tapes and give it to other people. It was a really cool thing to do at the time. I'm pretty sure you wouldn't want to do it now, but, you know, at the time it was pretty cool.
Wow, that I learned something new today.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
But that's gonna bring us to the end of this episode. And sorry, I deeply apologize to everybody for my. There it goes again. I deeply
had to get in one more.
Yeah, I had to get in one more microphone. Thank you. Apologize to everybody for the microphone mishaps. I'll figure out what that is before the next episode and get that cleared up. So thank you for sticking with us on this episode.
It might be just something as simple as a bad cable.
I hope not, but because this is a brand new cable. We'll see.
Okay, then who knows? I mean, it could be a multitude of things.
I don't know. Well, if I can't get it figured out, I'll go back to the old microphone until I can get it figured out. But
yeah, so you got a backup.
Either way, we'll sound back to normal next week. So don't worry, everybody. We'll get it fixed. You just stick with us. Just stick with us. But Derek, we already talked about what you're going to be reviewing next week, but what's going on with the Derek Diamond Experience? I know you got some stuff brewing.
Yeah, so if you haven't yet, you can check out last week's episode where I list my and the listeners' top 5 movie soundtracks. Really fun list to do. It was one that I had wanted to do for a long time. No new episode this week, but I will have a new one with a guest next week. I've got a couple of interviews lined up for the rest of this week, and then God, after that, we'll be at episode 400, which is pretty... pretty crazy.
Yeah,
I do have some things brewing, but I'm gonna wait a couple of weeks to formally announce that.
All right. Well, yeah, Wally took me to task the other day for including the Star Wars trilogy soundtrack under your soundtracks, but I will die on this hill that if a movie does not have a soundtrack and only has a score, then that score counts as a soundtrack.
The only issue I took with your comment was not that you included it, but that you called Jedi Rocks foolishness. I like Jedi Rocks.
Oh, my poor Derek. poor Derek. This podcast is officially over.
Well, it was a fun 370 episodes of Nerd Cave Retro. Hopefully,
so you're gonna sit
I've left
here
a legacy
and
behind.
Tell me that you like Jedi Rocks better than Lopta Neck from Cy Snoodles and Max Rebo Band.
Yeah.
Why? All right, we gotta have a talk.
I was a kid when the special edition came out that included that. So yeah, I was drawn to it.
All right.
The CG, it looks not great, but it was the 90s.
I get it.
I thought it was a cool addition. It's all right.
I'll let you have it. You can have all the Jedi Rocks, and I'll take all the Lopta Neck.
But we can all agree that the Cantina Band is the best.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Them.
But for open micers, last week we had on a comedian, John Jacobs, who was an excellent guest, talks about all of his videos that he does for YouTube, We talked about all the God, he's done so much crap. Just go check out the episode. I mean, he bounces back and forth between doing comedy in London and New York. He does skit videos online, gets millions of views. So go check out that episode at OpenMicers, OpenMicers.com. Go check it out. So, Derek, is there anything else before we get out of here tonight?
I'll say one other quick thing. I know my review after next week's, you know, won't be for another like 3 weeks or so. That's going to be close to the time that the remake for Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door is coming out. So my following review will be Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door.
Awesome.
So we will get to talk about it. I've wanted to review it for a while, and I think the situation now calls for it. So you can look forward to that in a few weeks.
Awesome. I'm not sure what I'm going to be reviewing after next week, so I might put up another poll for the patrons. So we'll see. I still got a week to figure it out. So keep an eye out, patrons. I may put up a poll for you this week. But that's going to do it for this week. I'm going to go ahead and play our music here. If you want to email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. Nerdcaveretro.com is our link tree. That takes you to all of our socials, our Patreon, and our merch shop. Where if you want to go straight there, you can go to ncrmerch.com. We got t-shirts, hats, stickers, magnets, bugs. Why? bags.
Buckets.
Bags, mugs, buckets, bugs, whatever you need. We got there on ncrmerch.com. Good Lord, what is wrong with me? Can't do that. I understand that times are tough and you can't give us any money. Go leave us a review. That's free to do on all podcasting platforms. Leave us a review and or a 5-star rating. And that's going to do it for this week. So, Derek, please tell them what it's all about.
May the way of the hero lead to the Triforce.
Yeah.
Master Blaster runs Bartertown.
Hey, Derek, have you heard the news?
What news?
We officially have our very own line of coffee at brezcoffeeco.com.
That's right. Nerd Cave Retro now has its very own medium roast coffee.
If you want to try it yourself, or even some of the other awesome flavors like Wizard's Potion, which is a butterscotch, caramel, and hazelnut flavored roast.
Or the Dragon's Breath Roast, which is a cinnamon dolce flavored roast.
They have tons of different flavors, and you can also just get a regular Colombian roast and add any flavor to it that you want. They even keep their seasonal roasts all year round.
If you need that boost to get you through those all-night gaming sessions, then head over to brezcoffeeco.com and use the promo code NCR for 10% off your order.
This podcast is a Zoo House LLC production.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.